The space station this week is Sleeping 6. Five astronauts and one spaceflight participant, to use NASA's words. Mark Shuttleworth would be the plain English. He's the world's second space tourist, and he's paying $20 million for the privilege. As NPR's David Kestenbaum reports, many more people would like to get away from Earth, and some are taking matters into their own hands.
Ask Jeff Grayson why he wants to go to space, and he doesn't have a neat answer. If you have to ask, he says, you just ain't gonna get it.
I'd like to move someday. You know, I would like to see the technology get to the point where space could be meaningfully opened as a new frontier for people to live and work. I'd like to emigrate.
Grayson is an engineer. He doesn't have $20 million. But he just returned from Kazakhstan, where he watched space tourist Mark Shuttleworth ride a rocket 250 miles up to the space station. The Russian rockets look like something out of Buck Rogers, but they're reliable, he says. The Russians have launched over 1,500 of them. Grayson says the event seemed less formal than NASA launches, more routine, more like someone boarding a plane at an airport.
A lot of the players that I met in Russia, you know, people in their legislature and in their industry, I think correctly view this as the beginning of a new race, the race for commercial victory in space, to an extent that the U.S. establishment really hasn't woken up to yet.
So Grayson is going it alone. He once helped design a spaceship that used helicopter blades for landings. That failed. He's now president of a new venture called X-Core, and his goal is more modest. To build a kind of airplane capable of lifting passengers 100 kilometers up for a few minutes. They'd experience zero gravity and a view of the Earth surrounded by a black sky. There is a market for such a journey. Over 100 people have already put down money, totaling some $2 million, to reserve seats on a flight like this, though the vehicle to carry them doesn't even exist yet. The reservations are being taken by a company called Space Adventures, which arranged Mark Shuttleworth's flight. Guy Gardner, who works for Space Adventures, understands the desire to leave the Earth. He was an astronaut, piloted two shuttle missions. A trip to space can be life-altering, he says. Out one window is the Earth, the other, infinity. And gravity, of course, has been turned off.
I have no problem imagining us having this conversation floating up at the ceiling. I mean, that's totally within my perspective of what's possible, whereas until you've done that, it's pretty hard to imagine.
So where are the orbital hotels, the moon colonies, the low-gravity sports arenas? Why are things taking so long? Charles Lurio, a space enthusiast, has an answer. He just returned from a meeting of the Space Access Society. Its stated goal is to promote radically cheaper access to space ASAP. Lurio blames the government.
Yes, I'm frustrated with NASA, but more to the point, I'm frustrated with the mindset, which is, you know, where the great and terrible are. We know everything there is to know about rockets. Rocket science is rocket science, which it isn't.
Lurio grew up seeing men walk on the moon, only to witness human spaceflight take what he sees as a big step backwards. He says space is important, the way religion is. It helps us see ourselves.
To me, it's very calming to know that there are stars out there that are on their own paths that are, you know, indifferent and alien, and, you know, they go on.
Bill Reedy, NASA's assistant administrator for spaceflight, says he understands people's frustrations. Reedy was an astronaut, grew up with moon maps tacked up in his basement. NASA is working on cheaper routes to space, but for the time being, Reedy says, tourists will have to wait.
You know, spaceflight is still an extremely risky business. You know, in a modern fighter jet, your chances are 1 in 10,000. In a modern airliner, your chances are 1 in a million. Your chances in the shuttle are still about 1 in 500. So this is not something that we're going to take very lightly.
Those are the chances of dying. And that is where the dream hits reality. Jeff Grayson's company, which only employs a dozen people, recently built their own rocket engine and strapped it onto a plane. A test pilot flew it around the desert safely. Grayson has learned to take small steps and keep his grander ambitions in check. You have to tell me what planet you want to live on.
I don't want to do that. I'm sorry. I think it detracts from the image that we're trying to establish of being real business. Because even if things work as we might wish, you know, it'll be 15, 20 years before you can think about doing something like that, and that's too far away for people to be thinking about right now. Right now, what we need to be thinking about is how to get to the first step of being profitable.
Until then, he says, he'll keep his dreams to himself. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.